Okay. Welcome to posterity. The mailing list is the archive. Post, get it? Yeah, funny. Okay. For the benefit of people listening to the recording, which will probably outnumber the people actually hearing it in person, I'll try to keep you informed of the page number we're on at any given time. So, page two. What's it all about? What I'm interested in here is asynchronous discussion forums. There's more than one way to go about communicating with people. I'm an asynchronous kind of guy. I like mailing lists and news groups more than IRC and stuff like that. So, as far as asynchronous discussion forums go, we have, right now, we have mailing lists, we have news groups, we have, more recently, web discussion boards, things like that. I will mostly be focusing on the first two for reasons to be explained shortly. Page three. How do we go about implementing one of these things? As far as why we would want to when we already have the things we do, I'll get to that in a second. There's two basic ways we can go about implementing, well, pretty much anything. We can either start from scratch, do something totally new, or we can build on what we have. If we do new protocols, new formats, new everything, then on the plus side, we don't have to worry about being compatible with anything that's already out there. We have the freedom to get everything really right, and we aren't hindered by the mistakes that have been made in the past. Of course, we don't forget the knowledge that we've gained through previous implementations, but we don't depend on the code. The disadvantages of going that route are it's more work, since you are throwing out all that code, and therefore it takes longer. And of course, it's slower. There's slower adoption, since you have to wait for everybody to start using all your new code. They're not going to be using the same clients and everything that they're using now. Going the other way, we take the code that's already out there and we find a way to use it better. The advantage is there. A lot of the code is already out there. Part of the work is already done. So that's faster development and faster deployment. The disadvantage there is some mistakes have been made in the past and there's only so far we can go to work around those. Page four. So what kinds of features would we like to see? Pretty much we would like to see what we have, the basics of the existing options out there are pretty much right. We want threading, we want to see the structure of a discussion. We want cross-posting so we can have the same discussion appear on multiple forums since it may be on topic on multiple forums. We want moderation some of the time. We want to have it available as an option, even if we don't always use it. And we want a searchable archive. That's not really built into mailing lists or news groups, but it is very useful, and we definitely want to have that in mind. So any of the things I've mentioned so far could satisfy these, but I'm going to focus on mailing lists and news groups because a web browser really doesn't do a good job of what a news reader does. A web browser is good at browsing the web, but it's not really good for a different job. Page five. So what are the core differences between email and news? First of all, SMTP pushes messages to the readers. With NNTP, the readers come to the server and pull the messages when they want to. Email, you have a central distribution point. Whenever anybody injects a new message, it goes into the same server, or it might be a group of servers, but they're all acting as one system under the same administrative control. So logically, it's a single system. And then readers all get their messages from that same single point. With NNTP, for news, you have this amorphous cloud of servers all exchanging messages between them at ad hoc relationships. Then finally, email addresses are different from newsgroup names in that addresses depend on depend on DNS, and so there's some authority there, there's uniqueness, it's all managed hierarchically, whereas newsgroup names are a little more ad hoc. Somebody suggests a newsgroup name, a bunch of people agree to carry that group, and then the group exists. Page 6. Okay, so what are the consequences of some of these differences? Well, first of all, on the push versus pull front, when you're pulling messages, you have a server-side message store, which is nice. You've got you don't have the duplication of the message contents on every system where somebody is reading the messages. Also, since it's built into the protocol that the messages are on the server and the forums are on the server, the clients don't have to worry about separating messages from different forums into separate visual groups. So on that point, we prefer news. The next point, immediate notification. You have that when you push messages. You don't have that when you pull messages. And immediate notification is not always, it's not really critical, but it can be nice. So it's nice to have it. On that point, we prefer email. Having an integrated archive is good. Your old messages and your new messages are all in the same place, so there's no need to go looking when you're wondering about what's been discussed before. News can be used that way. It doesn't have to be used that way. It often isn't used that way. But if you configure your server never to do expiration, then that is what you have. And finally, lazy moderation. If you want to do moderation, when messages are pushed, you can't call them back afterwards. So that means you have to block every message before it goes out, review it, let the good ones through, stop the bad ones. When messages are being pulled by the readers, you have the option of being a little more lazy about it. You can let every message through, and then after the fact, go through and remove the bad ones. And you stand a decent chance, if you stay on top of things, of getting rid of those bad messages before anybody sees them, or at least before a lot of people see them. So spam and such will not be so big of an annoyance. So on that point, we prefer news again. Page 7. More differences of push versus pull. These ones are not so much about what's possible, what you can do. It's more about what you have to deal with. If you're pushing messages, you need to know who to push them to. And that means you need to have a record of each reader on the server. And having that per user information presents some problems. You have to make sure that that information is updated only when it's supposed to be. You don't want anybody to be maliciously subscribed or unsubscribed by a third party. If somebody's subscribed, you want them to stay subscribed until as long as they want to be. You don't want them to miss any messages because somebody else pulled them off the list. You also don't want anybody to be put on the list without wanting to be. Otherwise, you're effectively being used to spam them. Another point is you have to keep the contents of that information, the list of subscribers, secret, because not everybody wants it to be known that they do read that list. An example of this is when I subscribe to a mailing list, I create a unique address just for that list, and then the delivery instructions for that email address automatically handle separating it from all the other lists I subscribe to. Each email address gets delivered to its own mailbox, and so my filtering is very easy. But if anybody finds out what one of my subscription addresses is, then they can send messages to there and make it appear that it came on the group and kind of trick me. So I don't want that to happen. So that means the administrator of the list has to keep the subscriber list secret. When you're pulling messages, you don't have to worry about any of that. So, again, we like news. Dead subscribers. If somebody was reading the list or the news group or whatever, and then they stop reading it, but they don't take any particular action to, you know, notify the admin about that, then if you're pushing messages and you keep pushing messages when they're not there to read them anymore, that's a waste of traffic. And if the account has been deleted or it's over quota or whatever, you're going to start getting bounces, which is even more traffic, and that's just a pain. So you have the option of automatically unsubscribing those people, but then you have to worry about, all right, how many bounces is too many? And again, with NNTP, you don't have to worry about that because people are pulling messages. If they stop pulling, well, fine, they're stopped pulling. You don't care. Another point, if you're pushing messages, you have to make sure that you only push good messages. Otherwise, you might end up on somebody's blacklist, and then you can't push any messages to them anymore. Whereas with pulling, you don't have to worry about that. If bad messages happen to be there, people will just not pull those messages. Load. When you're pushing messages, your network usage is going to be very spiky. As soon as a message comes in, it gets pushed to all the subscribers at pretty close to the same time. Whereas if people are pulling messages, they're pulling them on their own schedules. So that's nice. That spreads the load out over time. On that point, we prefer news because it pulls messages. It seems like that might conflict with the instant notification that I mentioned earlier, but that's only sort of a conflict because you can push out a notification that there is a message without pushing out the actual contents of the message. And so your load will still be fairly smooth because people will, if you push out the notification and let people pull the message, the bulk of the traffic is still relatively spread out. Stupid autoresponders. I'm sure everybody here has been on a list, or a lot of people here have been on a list, and sending a message to the list has triggered somebody else's message saying, I'm on vacation, I'm not reading my messages. And you really don't care. You don't know that person. You don't know they're on the list. It's not your problem. So pulling messages is nice because that never happens. Pulling a message never triggers another message to be sent. Pushing a message often does. So we like pulling. Then there's how much work does it take to subscribe to a group if you want to read that group. With email, with mailing lists, you typically have to send a subscription message for each list that you want to subscribe to. In some cases, a bunch of lists on the server, on the same server, will make it a little easier. You can register once and then just pick and choose which lists on that server you want to belong to. But with news, it's even easier than that. You configure your program to look at your local news server just once, and then it's just purely a local matter on your own machine deciding which groups you want to read from. Page 8. On the topic of centralized versus decentralized message distribution, with news, you've got all these different servers out there exchanging messages among themselves, and so no one server is hit too hard. All the data is spread out, it's all mirrored. That's good. We like that. With email, you've got everything going through one system. That system has to be up to the load to handle the entire reading population. Other point is having a single point of messaging injection. With email, you have that, and that means that everybody sees the same messages at any given time. So there's never any confusion, as you sometimes have with news, about whether a certain message exists yet. What that means is with news, you can have discussions being somewhat repetitive, since I post a message saying something, somebody else doesn't see that message yet, so they post the same thing, and that can be, it's a minor annoyance, but it's something to think about. With news, there's also a risk that if a certain group is not very popular, not carried on a lot of servers, then it might, as far as I can tell, it might fracture, where there's group A is some servers that carry that group, and group B is some servers that carry that group, but there are no feeds connecting group A to group B. And so the contents of the news group can diverge between those two groups of servers. I don't know if that ever actually happening. I haven't really looked into it, but that's kind of uneasy. So on that point, we prefer email, definitely. Page 9. On the two different addressing schemes, both of them can give us cross-posting, but we cannot cross-post between the two schemes. So we do have to pick one or the other. Email has the advantage that you can cross-post not just to a set of mailing lists, but you can also include individuals in there. So that's nice. News, you have a different advantage in that when you're following up to another message, typically you want to have that go to the same set of news groups that the original message was in. Sometimes you want to redirect it to a different set of groups, and you have the follow-up to header to accommodate that. In email, we do have the header field mail follow-up to, but it's quite a bit more recent and not as widely supported. So on that point, we prefer news. Then there's the effort required to create a new forum. On here, email definitely wins, because of the addressing scheme based on DNS, that means all you need to do is control one machine, and you automatically control all email addresses at that machine, and so you can create a new mailing list just within that small scope. Whereas with news, you have to cooperate with other news server administrators, get them to agree to carry this new group, and that's a bit more work. Page 10. So what we've seen so far is a lot of points in favor of news and a few points in favor of email, but a lot of the points in favor of news were because of the push versus pull distinction. And there is a way we can level the playing field a bit here. We can have pulling messages with email, and that's what IMAP is all about. So that that makes it a much closer race here. Of the remaining differences, the one I think is the most critical is how hard it is to create a new forum. That's all about barriers to entry, and we do not want high barriers to entry. And so I choose email via IMAP. Page 11. All right, so we're doing IMAP. We want to make an IMAP mailbox available to the public. What is this going to look like? How is this different from normal IMAP that we're already used to? Well, we've got anonymous authentication. We want to let anybody in. We don't really care who they are. We don't need to create local accounts for them. We don't need to keep track of them. The service is going to be totally read-only. You don't get to delete messages. You don't get to post new messages through the IMAP protocol. You don't even get to store on the server the list of messages that you've already read. That is something for you to handle on the client machine. That goes back to sparing the admin the work and the worry of having to worry about the per-user information on the server. IMAP has a built-in search function, so that's a big win. having the old messages and the new messages all in the same place means as soon as you get to the point where you would ask a question on the list, you're already at the point where you can look for an existing answer. IMAP is designed to have long-lived connections. As long as somebody is sitting there with their mail reader open, waiting for a new message to appear, they will have an open connection to the server. That can present some scalability problems if we want our server to be able to handle everybody who might be interested in our groups. So we may have to, for scalability, drop connections when there get to be too many of them to let new people in after old people have been sitting there for a while, and then just let the clients reconnect whenever they care to. Clients often do that anyway. Page 12. One of the points that was in favor of news that we do not get automatically with email and IMAP is having the message contents spread out over a large number of servers. We would like to get that if possible, and yay, we can. We won't do it in the same way that news does it. We would do it more in the way of how DNS and HTTP do it, where on your site, you've got a proxy. That proxy talks to all the servers out there hosting their groups and caches messages locally. So then everybody at your site benefits from that cache. So that's how we can do spreading the messages around. Those caches will only have to worry about a small user population, so they won't be too tough to manage. Those, and since they only deal with a small user population, they can store the message flags, which indicate which messages you've already read. That'll be nice because a lot of clients out there, I'm sure, are not prepared to handle a server that is not willing to store those flags, even though the IMAP protocol is expressive enough that the server can say, I do not store these flags. I'm sure a lot of clients are not prepared to handle that. Then finally, on your local proxy, your local cache, it can organize its mailbox names to indicate a server and a mailbox name on that other server. So that basically that means you, the admin of your local cache, doesn't have to set up a mapping of some local mailbox name to a remote mailbox name. That can all be done automatically, programmatically. Page 13. IMAP is not ideal. Earlier I mentioned going new protocols or existing protocols. I want fast deployment, so I'm using existing protocols, but it sure would be nice if we didn't have to, because IMAP has just about the ugliest command syntaxes you're ever going to find. It's just, there really is no need for three different ways of representing a string. that's just a pain. Parsing IMAP commands is just about the first or probably second hardest part of the server I'm writing. And whenever parsing is the hardest part, you know you've done something wrong, because parsing is always an artificial problem. Somebody designed that syntax to be that hard to parse, and that was a mistake. The other hardest part would be parsing MIME. But MIME has kind of an excuse because it was designed to work within the existing email message format. So there's a reason that MIME is ugly. There is no reason for IMAP to be so ugly. Content structure. Web discussion boards have an advantage in that HTML is a little more freeform. You can have data on there that doesn't fit into the simple threading message structure. It would be nice if we could have that, but it's not a big deal as far as I'm concerned. We do still have MIME with IMAP, even the server is aware of the MIME structure of a given message and can serve out just the individual message parts that a client is interested in. And so you could use that creatively, maybe, if you care about that. Another disadvantage over web mailing list archives and web discussion boards is that search engines don't index public IMAP boxes. But I have a feeling that has just a little bit something to do with the fact that, as far as I know, there are no public IMAP boxes out there. Once there are, I expect, you know, there is an IMAP URL syntax already invented. Authentication is going to be anonymous, so there's no problem with search engines getting in. Once these things exist, there's no technical reason why they couldn't be indexed by search engines. Gateways. Some people like to access a given discussion forum by way of a different transport. They want to talk to a mailing list as if it were a news group, or the other way around. The Gmain project is a big example of that. It's hosting a lot of mailing lists, archives, and presenting them as news groups. That's fine for reading. When it comes to posting, that can be a problem because there are differences, subtle differences, in the way the headers are interpreted. Some information can be lost. One person talking through news won't quite correspond with how somebody talking through email would do the same thing. That's really a problem with any protocol. That isn't really limited to IMAP. Page 14. So once we have this system, and we don't yet, I'm still working on it, why is anybody going to want to switch? Well, pretty much all the advantages of one system over the other that we talked about before, we can get most of those with IMAP. And so IMAP will have some advantages over mailing lists and different advantages over news groups, and those will be the incentives for people to switch. Admins will want to switch because they don't have to manage a separate archive and a separate list. They just have one thing to manage. They don't have to keep per-user information on the server. They don't have to worry about people who aren't reading the group anymore and trimming them. They don't have to worry about keeping their server off blacklists because they're not pushing messages. They don't have to worry about a spiky network load. They don't have to worry about the group fracturing like news groups can. And it's very easy to create a new group. Just start up this one program on your server and create a new mailbox within there, and it's available for everybody who wants to see it. Page 15. Why would readers want to switch? Well, same advantages we talked about before. They don't have to worry about filtering messages into separate groups on the client side. That's all done within the protocol on the server. They still get immediate notification. There is an IMAP extension where a client can go into idle mode, and as long as it's in that mode, it will get immediately notified whenever a new message appears. But it won't get the full message pushed to it. The client still waits till its own time to decide, when do I actually want the message itself? If you're a reader, you probably want to know what's been talked about before. With IMAP, as soon as you know where you would find the new messages, old messages are right there too. You don't have to worry about anybody subscribing you or unsubscribing you without your permission. You don't have to worry about other people having stupid autoresponders in response to your messages. You don't have to worry about making sure your autoresponder plays well. You don't have to you won't look like a fool. It's very easy to subscribe to a group. At most, you might have to set up your program to talk to another server, and then you can pick and choose from the groups on that server. Or if you've got your local proxy, local cache, you can just tell it to go there and then pick and choose from all the groups in the world. You've got your synchronized view of the group with all the other people reading it, so you don't have to worry about repetitive discussions quite so much. And you can cross-post to individual people, just like with mailing lists. And here's where I pretty much ran out of things to talk about on the architecture of the thing, and so I started talking about implementation techniques just to fill some time. But if anybody has questions so far and wants to fill time that way, that's cool too. Yeah?
I had a quick question. I'm not clear. What is different about posterity that solves the autoresponder problem?
The autoresponder problem is caused by messages being pushed. When a message is pushed, it can often trigger another message to be sent. When you're pulling messages, that doesn't happen. And so that's why IMAP is good for us. Okay. My message store in the server that I'ir writing is MailDir format. Basically, that means each message is its own file. That's nice because it's impossible for that to get corrupted. When a new message comes in, it doesn't really appear until it's been completely written out as its own file. I am doing a little modification to the messages as they come in, changing the line endings to be carriage return line feed instead of just plain line feed, just because that's how IMAP demands it, and so I might as well do that up front during delivery rather than doing it over and over again whenever I provide a message. In that same vein, I'm pre-parsing everything about that message that I can during delivery. The MIME structure is never going to change once a message comes in. I only need to parse that once when the message is first delivered. Later on, when it's served, I can just consult that and avoid the expense of parsing the MIME over and over again. To scale, to handle a lot of clients, there's going to be, you know, timeouts and also time limits. You can only spend so much time during a given connection before I boot you off and then let somebody else in, because I can only handle so many connections at a time. I'm not really sure how much of a problem that's going to be or if I'm going to have to exercise that. I'll have to wait and see in practice. UID allocation. IMAP mailboxes, each message within the mailbox has its own unique number to identify it. And you have to basically make sure that those never collide. Whenever a message comes in, you have to allocate that numeric ID for it atomically, making sure that nobody else who's delivering a message at the same time can grab that same ID. I use a nifty trick in the file system to do that so that parallel deliveries can happen and will always get their own unique IDs that won't conflict. I can go into that in more detail if anybody's interested, but anyway. My server is spawned by a INETD style super server. The super server I like is TCP server from the UXPI TCP package, but you can use any super server you like. I'm a fan of the small is beautiful school, so there's no need for each individual server program to handle the work of listening on sockets and that sort of thing. And since my server is supposed to handle all the clients that are interested in a group, I want to keep memory consumption small. And one way to do that is using a data structure called inversion lists to store lists of message IDs. So that's about as much as I had. I hope I'm not too short on time. Yeah, we got about 10 minutes left. Any questions? Yes.
Could you please go into more detail about your unique idea?
Yes, I can go into more detail on my unique ID allocation. Actually, why don't I just bring up the code? Okay, here's my function that allocates a new unique identifier, which is just something nice for you to look at while I explain it, because there's no way you can read that. It's a mess. When a new message comes in, first thing the delivery process tries to do is, I'm going to try to get ID number one, because I haven't looked. I don't know if anybody's taken that yet. So the way it tries to do that is try to open a file named one, and it does that with the O create, O exclusive option. So if that file already exists, that open operation will fail. And if that file doesn't already exist, then it will be created, and nobody else will be able to create it. So if that works, then we've got our new UID, and we can go on. If that doesn't work, then what we do is we stat that file named one, and we say, what is its hard link count? And then we add that to the number one that we started with, and that's our new file name that we're going to try to get. So, and when we try to get that new file name, we do it by linking to the one file rather than opening a new file. So essentially what this means is, if a file named N exists, then the ID number N has been allocated. But we don't want to gobble up lots and lots of inodes by creating a different file for each ID, so to conserve, we can do linking. That will get us up to the maximum number of hard links to a given file. After that, we start a new file. So once we get up to 64K or whatever, the file 65536 is not the same file as the file 1, but everything up to 65535 is the same as the file 1. Those are all hard links. Then we start a new file. And so all this mess in the code here is just to detect all those various conditions. Any other questions? Okay, then. Well, I'm close enough to my time. I'm happy. And that's it.